Warning, warning. This is the realest podcast on the internet. So if you don't like real shit, stop listening now. You're here with your homeboy, Art Dog, your main man, MJ Gunner, and the Reverend Real Shit, Sam Spoon. This is the Sons of Legends podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Sons of Legends. It's your boy, Art Dog, here with your homeboy, MJ Gunner.
Yes, sir.
The Reverend of Real Shit, Sam Spade.
What up, though?
And we about to get into some of this wrestling business, you know what I'm saying? Today, we're going to do three up, three down on Hulk Hogan, and we're going to get into some things that happened this week. To me, it really seems like WrestleMania is shaping up. You know what I'm saying? And I'm very excited after watching Raw and SmackDown this week. Because on SmackDown, Cody and Roman finally had a face-to-face. And, I mean, the words was... It was going down. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were supposed to be there alone. Neither one of them came alone.
That'd be a moron if you thought Roman was coming alone. Ain't no way. And that's why Cody, you know, had his backup with him. You don't trust the tribal chief as far as you can throw him.
I mean, depending on who you are, you can probably throw him pretty far. I've seen Brock throw him pretty far.
I mean,
you know what's ironic is that out of all of this, Roman Reigns is very, very trusting.
I don't know about that much.
He's been turned on by quite a few people.
Yeah, that's true. If you go back and look at the history, it seems like everybody turned on him. Whether it be Seth Rollins, the Usos, Sami Zayn. Like, it seems like everybody turned on him.
Right, I feel you.
So, Sam Spade does have a great point there.
Good point.
But it's really shaping up. So, what do you think the role will be of Naomi and Bianca and the rest of Damage Control and, you know, how that's playing out right there? Because this week, Naomi had a match with Io, and, of course, Damage Control gets involved, but Bianca comes down and try to save her, and she gets beat up, too.
Personally,
it's going down.
Personally, it looks like it's going to be a six-woman tag at WrestleMania. Bianca, yep. Naomi, and quite possibly, I'm hoping, Jay Cargill against Damage Control.
She did get in the face of EO before.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Fingers crossed. But if not, then it'll probably just be Bianca and Naomi versus the Kabuki Warriors, either title or non-title.
That could be. But I like that idea of Jay Cargill.
I mean, it's getting to the point to where you gotta give us a taste. You have to give us a taste. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be patient. I get that, you know, good things worth waiting for. But we've not seen her in the ring since the Royal Rumble.
And before that, we hadn't seen her in the ring at all.
You gotta give us a taste of what we're waiting for. You know, at least to me anyway. You know, it's a good thing to, you know, she's definitely worth waiting for. But eventually you gotta give us a taste. Give us a sample of why you made us wait so long, and hopefully she does not miss out on WrestleMania this year.
I'm guessing that they think that sample was the Royal Rumble, her eliminating Nia Jax alone.
It was great, but like I said, it was the Royal Rumble a few months ago. It wasn't very, you know, long or anything. I get, you know, if they gave us a nice sampler there, I'm hungry again.
Right.
You know?
Right, we just had an appetizer. Right. We're ready for the full course.
We're ready for the full course. You know, then now she signed to SmackDown, which is a good sign.
And you know, she's showing up on SmackDown this week.
Yeah. Let's get this show on the road. The steak's about cooked. Take it off the grill.
I'm with it. I can dig that. And not only that, but we've been waiting for a long time. Jade's been signed since last year, mm-hmm. sometime, and the training has been going and going and going and going, and they gave us a taste at the Royal Rumble, and now we've been waiting. It's 2 months past the Royal Rumble at this point. And now we're just looking for what they're preparing us for. Because it's not like they're going to throw in the main event automatically.
Probably not, but I would not be surprised, to be honest with you.
But
let's not forget about that meme that's floating around that she gets paid to not wrestle.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking if they go ahead and she appears on SmackDown, they say she's going to appear on SmackDown as a SmackDown superstar for the first time. That's what they're promoting. Mm-hmm. And then Damage Control comes out, jumps her. There we go.
Yeah, we're off to the races. We're there. To be completely honest with you, depending on how they do it and, you know, how well the training's been going and everything, I would not mind seeing her go at EO quickly. You know, it said Jade's got the star power, Jade's the name. You know, if the in-ring works there to back it up, you know, I wouldn't be mad.
I wouldn't be mad at that either. The only thing, because this week they really made Bayley look weak.
Yeah, I think so.
Because EO's music hits and she and Damage Control comes out and EO doesn't. And they pan to the back and she's beating the hell out of Bayley and then goes out and has a match right after. Yeah. Bayley didn't come out to attack her. Bayley didn't come out to help Bianca and Naomi. Like, she just beat her down and left. Mm-hmm. So it's not looking
Bader as an afterthought,
right? It's not looking good for Bayley coming up on WrestleMania. So that's kind of weird, right there. I didn't see the purpose behind that.
Yeah, it's definitely true. You know, they usually don't let the heels get one off like that and then just go on answer or nothing.
Right. She didn't even run out to interfere or anything.
Right, you know, that used to be the big save. You know, it was 3-on-2 and then she'd come out and, you know, even up the odds.
Right. But that didn't happen, so that really made her look weak. I was very disappointed in that fact.
Yeah, I feel you.
So but Logan Paul, Randy Orton, and KO, how's this shaping up for you guys?
I really hope that Kevin Owens, or Randy Orton for that matter, doesn't turn heel, but I feel like one of them has to.
Why?
Because, yeah, you know, everybody hates Logan Paul, but you got to think about it. They both won his championship, and one of them got to turn heel in order to do it. Yeah, they've been kind of teasing each other, you know, hitting with the, you know, their specials and then kind of knuckling it up later, talking about some, you know, kind of just part of the deal. But I got a feeling one of them going to turn heel.
Right.
I don't want it, but they kind of have to.
It keeps seeming like Randy's almost RKOing KO every week.
Right, right.
But then they turn their focus to Austin Theory and Grayson Waller.
Yeah. I'm sure the match will be, you know, fire because it does look good on paper, but I'm not a really big fan of the build-up right now. You know, I just feel like they're not, you know, doing enough to, you know, get us, you know, hyped around the actual WrestleMania triple threat match for the United States title. You know, it seems like Randy and KO are, you know, unlikely allies right now, and, you know, Logan Paul is, you know, just complaining about having to defend the title in a triple threat match, which is, you know, a classic, you know, heel move. But, you know, I just personally, I don't think, you know, they got enough time to really, you know, gel everything together, which is, you know, kind of ties to what I was talking about the last few weeks, that, you know, we're getting close and, you know, there are still a few loose ends that need to be tied up with some of these feuds and, you know.
Right. But they did have the qualifiers for the tag team matches. Yeah. And Street Profits went over to AOP.
Right.
And so next week we'll have the Street Profits
against Aussie Down Under. I was damn sad to see them go over to OC, man. When are they going to just, you know, start putting respect on quality tag team names
but
around
this
camp?
The OC is actually in kind of a thing with Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin in NXT.
NXT and everything.
So to have them on Stand and Deliver and WrestleMania would be kind of wild.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they don't deserve it because the OC has put in work all around the world.
Like I said, they're a quality tag team. Like, if that was the case, then I really wish that Down Under would have went over somebody else to me qualify. Too. You know, they didn't have to go over the OC.
Me too. That was my thought. I thought that if the OC was doing so good in NXT, then they definitely didn't need to be losing on the main roster.
Yeah, you know, they didn't need to, you know, take this out.
Yeah, that did kind of surprise me, not gonna lie. It kind of did.
But that's how it is. That's how it's gonna be, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm cool with whichever team going in. I definitely would rather the Street Profits go in because they need it. Profits. Aussie Down Under kind of doesn't really have anything going right now. They've been feuding with KO and Randy for so long that they don't really even seem like a tag team yet.
Yeah, you know, they kind of, you know, they have the thrown together tag team vibe to them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really think they're gelling. You know, because some of these thrown together tag teams, you know, when they work really well, they gel like almost instantly.
But everybody can't be the bar.
Yeah, that's what I was comparing to the bar. You know, when they got put together, they gel, they clicked.
It took them a minute, but they did.
Angle and Benoit from back in the day, you know, on SmackDown, you know, they got put together and they had great tag team matches. You know, I feel like they clicked as a team. You know, they couldn't stand each other, but, you know, they work well together.
Yeah, there are a few teams that happened to. Even Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin, the Wolf Dogs were kind of thrown together, but they make a pretty good team.
Yeah, you know, when they click, you know, it happens, you know, fairly early. You know, if it doesn't happen within, like, a month or so, then I personally don't think it's going to work.
Yeah. Good point. But there are some things that are happening at WrestleMania that are seeming to come together. Yeah. Like Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. They had their face-to-face. She punched Dominik dead in the chin, and it was on from there.
Yeah, I was glad to see them, you know, get, you know, more amped up and in each other's face this week on Raw.
And they brung up something that we said last week about how Becky's going out there week after week fighting and Rhea's not doing anything, and Becky brung that up.
Yeah, you know, I do think she's been distracted, you know, with the whole Nia Jax and Liv Morgan thing. You know, and the argument can be made that this makes Becky look strong because she did put down Nia Jax. I get that, and, you know, that's definitely a good point. But the thing is, I don't really think Becky Lynch needed to the extra boost to make her look strong to think that she could take Rhea Ripley. Like, I don't, like, if this is almost anybody else on the main roster, I would say, okay, yeah, you know, you got to beef her up a little bit because, you know, Rhea Ripley's been, you know, on a tear for like over a year now. But Becky Lynch, I don't think she needed that boost, you know. Becky's one of the forefronts of the women's revolution. She has been since it started. So, you know, it's not hard to believe that
Becky could beat
Rhea Ripley, even if she didn't beat Nia Jax first.
But, I mean, you can tell that the writers have been listening to the Sons of Legends because she brung up the fact that, yes, she's been in there night in and night out every week, and Rhea hasn't wrestled. Mm-hmm. And Rhea's like, all I have to do is post pictures on Instagram to get people excited about me. And Becky's like, well, I feel like a championship should be defended every week. And if you ain't doing shit, then you ain't about shit. And I kind of, you know, I was a little shocked. I'm like, we just said this last week.
I mean, I wouldn't say every week, but, you know, it definitely should. You know, the championship see more action than Rhea Ripley's been seeing over, you know, on the road to WrestleMania. I don't know why that is.
I mean, the only thing that's making this rounds on the internet is her doing the stink face to people.
Yeah, and she did that to Nia Jax.
And then
shout out to Shayna Baszler for letting her lesbian flag fly high by begging to get stink face.
Right. Right. Lord. She was begging for it. And then Nia gave it to her and she didn't realize it. And when she realized it was Nia, she started doing the throw up noise.
Good
that
Lord.
Was hilarious. That was a funny video. But
I'm glad to see they having major fun on the on the live house show circuit. I'm very glad to see them have fun doing.
They are. They're doing that. I mean, we've been to a couple house shows and seen some they're things they did. They really have fun on house shows. I remember watching Jey Uso wrestle back in the day, and he was having dance-offs with people, and the ref was getting involved in dancing, and I mean, they do some wild things on live events that's not televised.
I remember when they tried to get The Undertaker to do a spin-a-roomie.
The take-a-roomie.
But yeah, that's shaping up. We also had The Rock, well, Cody opened the show, but then The Rock came out in a surprise and people went bananas. And he just whispered something in Cody's ear and walked away. And it was, you know, weird at first until the end of the show.
Yeah.
And Jey Uso was having a match with Shinsuke Nakamura. Jimmy and Solo come out of the crowd. Cody and Seth run out there, and then, well, let me go back, because Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins had a face-off, and CM Punk was out there. CM Punk wants to be the referee in their match. Now it seems that Drew is focused on CM Punk, while Seth Rollins is focused on The Rock and them. So both of their attention is split now.
Oh, you know, Drew's been doing this thing with CM Punk since, you know, CM Punk lost the Royal Rumble and, you know, got injured.
Right.
You know?
But with CM Punk coming back, now Drew's focused on him. Seth took a cheap shot at him, super kicked him, stomped him. You know what I'm saying? Now,
I don't think that's a good look on Drew McIntyre either, to be completely honest with you. I wasn't a really big fan of this promo that they had going on, because it's like, okay, so during the segment, Drew says to CM Punk that, you know, I'm all about you, and, you know, you kind of motivate me this, and, you know, I do this because, you know, I think about you while I'm doing that.
Right.
And, you know, at the end of a segment, Drew McIntyre is, you know, talking about how CM Punk does that to him now. And, you know, it just kind of confused me a little bit to, you know, kind of switch sides and everything. Like, who's the stand here? Is it you or is it him?
It's more of a I'm doing everything that you can't do type of thing. Yeah. And every time I have an achievement, because he did have that shirt on that had all the checklists on the back.
Yeah.
Injure CM Punk. Win the Elimination Chamber, main event WrestleMania, win the title. Like, he had this checklist on the back of his shirt. And CM Punk was supposed to be in that position pretty much.
Yeah. I just not a very big fan of, you know, things going in all kind of directions. You know, Drew's focused on Punk. Rollins is, you know, over there with the Bloodline. You know, this is for the World Heavyweight Championship, folks. At WrestleMania, the biggest show in the industry.
Right.
It kind of feels like the feud's being put on the afterburner.
Now, it's making it seem like what Roman said was right. This is a secondary title.
Yeah, you know, because everybody's going after something else. You know, Drew McIntyre's fighting for attention. One week he's focused completely on CM Punk, the other week. And, you know, personally, I hope that they don't make him the guest referee.
I don't want to see it.
But that's only because I know for almost a fact that if he's the guest referee, Drew McIntyre is not walking out of there with that title. And I would like to see Drew McIntyre walk out of there with that title.
I mean, it don't have to be Drew walking out of there with the... It could be Drew walking out of there with the title, because he might decide to screw over Seth Rollins. I just know if he's the referee, somebody's getting screwed.
Yeah, you know.
And let's not forget, though, there was a point in time where two people who hated each other and the referee, one of them played the referee and they still did the right thing.
Yeah, that was
Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, right? And Undertaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, but once again, Shawn kicked the Undertaker.
By accident.
But he still kicked him. Somebody got screwed.
but you know it wasn't meant for him, and he still counted the three. So I'm just saying it's a let's possibility not forget that Hulk can still count the three for Drew, even though he don't want to. That's all I'm saying.
Mick Foley did it. He counted to three, even though he didn't want to. The Rock had to do it. He counted to three, even though he didn't want to. And he even jumped up and said, "It doesn't matter if I count to three."
To be completely honest with you, if we don't get a great world title match out of Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins, then personally I would be highly upset. Because the buildup has not been there. So, you know, the match is the big thing. I think
Damian Priest going to sneak in and win it.
You know, the match is the big thing. You know, so I feel like the match should be, you know, higher up to kind of, you know, balance out what happened with the buildup. And
exactly.
Personally, I feel like if CM Punk was guest referee, then it wouldn't really happen. You know, there'd be, you know, people focused on him, people focused on the match, people focused on what he's doing during the match. Personally, I kind of feel like it'd be a little bit of a distraction, but that's just me. You know, kind of distract from the match to see what CM Punk's going to do next.
Yeah, to go further into it, when Jay was having this match with Shinsuke, Jimmy and Solo come out of the crowd. Cody and Seth run out there and start fighting them. Then Drew runs out and gives Seth Rollins the DDT. Yeah, the Future Shock DDT, and lays him out. And then Cody's fighting Jay and Solo in the back. And The Rock comes out, and he gives a beating to Cody like we haven't seen The Rock give somebody a beating in a long time.
He put the man paws on that boy. he laid him down. He laid him out, bloody and everything.
Y'all think you're going to throw him over the top?
Made him bleed.
Be real.
I thought he might for a second.
I thought he was going to throw him over the bridge.
Yeah, I thought he might.
I was like, uh-oh, Detroit all over again. Yeah,
I thought he was going to Austin Bridge him.
Yeah, but
the fact that they did that in the ring was a nice touch, too.
But he kept his promise. He wiped the blood off of Cody's head, wiped it on that belt, and I guess he's going to give it to Mama Rhodes.
This is what happens when you fuck with the final boss.
I'm loving this final boss persona.
Yeah, it's been a good look for The Rock.
And he's killing it as a heel. He's killing it in his return. It makes me love The Rock all over again. I feel like we're back in 2000.
Yeah.
I just hope he can go in the ring. That's my only concern.
That's the biggest concern to me, too.
He has been gassed up doing these promos.
I mean, I'm not expecting him to be some kind of marathon wrestler or anything. You know, let's not get our expectations too high here. Because, you know, it has been... Okay.
The Rock, like, if you look at technical wrestlers, you would never put The Rock up there.
I was going to say, he wasn't, you know, that... he wasn't an in-ring technician when he was in his prime.
No, but he was. Right.
He could go.
Yeah, he could have exciting matches.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Right. See, The Rock wasn't really known for all these technical moves. He was known for spots that he did.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Like taking the camera from the cameraman.
Getting on commentary. Hide most of it. So.
Right, getting on commentary, putting on people's clothes. Spitting water in people's faces.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd have these bursts of energies out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Sliding people's elbow.
Yeah. Nip up rock bottom out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He just had these moments. And then he had some of the best, like, crowd work while he was in the ring. Because mm-hmm. he'd be talking to people like, "I'll come out there and slap y'all." You know what I'm saying? He'd be talking to people all while he's beating somebody up.
Mm-hmm. Now, if this big ass can do a kip up now, I'll be very impressed.
I think he still got it. I think he still got it.
Yeah, he kept himself in shape and everything.
Now, I don't think he'll be able to jump high for, like, those leaping clotheslines and stuff like he used to. Mm-hmm. But we'll see what happens. Because he's twice as big as he was when he was in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm not expecting a superb match, but I am expecting some good work.
This tag team match does seem like it's going to be pretty great. Like, you know, it's going to main event night one, and I doubt that it's going to go out on a dud. You know, these guys are going to come in there and they're going to put it on.
It's,
you know,
just, like they always do. It's just hard to tell who's going to win, but I'm still guessing that The Rock and Roman will win this match.
Yeah, I can't imagine Rock or Roman taking this pinfall, to be completely honest with you. Like, personally, I still put my money on Seth eating this pin. That's who I think they're gonna, you know.
I can see Drew interfering in it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll just have to see how it goes. But one thing I wanted to ask you guys is, how do you feel about how Ricochet's been getting played up a little bit? Because he's had matches 3 weeks in a row and won against the Judgment Day.
I think we can blame Samantha Irvin for that.
I think you mean thank Samantha Irvin for that.
Blame, thank, same thing.
But, I mean, I would not be surprised if some of her good mojo rubs off on him. You know, like, people, you know, they really enjoy her work.
They really enjoy her.
They enjoy her work.
I'm not saying she's bad at her job. She's great at it.
She's great at her job.
The internet is pervasive. Come on now.
People do love Samantha Irvin, and she's very multi-talented. Not only is she gorgeous, but she can sing. She's a great ring announcer. She's made you like people that you didn't know you liked by the way she announces them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's Ricochet's girl.
And, you know, it's kind of like the whole Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing, you know. You like Taylor, so now you like Travis. You know, like some of them new fans that they right. got you. They like Taylor, so now they got like Travis. So
right, they've never watched football a day in their life, but all of a sudden they know who Travis Kelce is.
Right, you know, and if somebody's, you know, a fan of, you know, Samantha Irving and, you know, what she does and everything, you know, you might gravitate more towards Ricochet.
I think they're just letting Ricochet finally go.
Yeah, that could also be a possibility.
They've had, like, and then I love that on commentary they're steady saying he's quick like a puma.
Yeah.
Knowing that he used to be Prince Puma in Lucha Underground.
Right.
But I think they're just kind of letting him go. He, like, Ricochet is one of those hidden gems that's been there for a while. I mean, he is a former IC champion. Former United States champion. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, former North American champion.
Yeah.
Like, Ricochet still got it. And that shooting star press where JD was still standing up let me know he still got it.
Right. I mean, looking at his in-ring work, you wouldn't really think that he lost anything or anything like that.
It's just WWE, sometimes they have an over influx of talent and they don't know what to do with it. Yeah. And a person like Ricochet kind of gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely think that's been his issue for the majority of his career. You know, he's talented and everything, but there's never really been, you know, something to help him stand out, you know, amongst, you know, the crowd.
Just his in-ring work. His in-ring work makes him stand out. Right, but everybody's... My thing is he has to have a good feud because Ricochet is a regular promo cutter. He's not intense. He's not, like, screaming at you or yelling. He doesn't have a unique voice. He sounds like a homeboy from the block.
I mean, if this was another era of pro wrestling, his in-ring work would be enough to
hold him,
get him up towards the top of the card. But in this day and age, everybody's, you know, really good in the ring. You know, so you got to have some. Personally, I believe you got to have something else to help you stand out. Like, in-ring work is just not going to be, you know, it's just not going to cut it anymore. You know, you need something else. You need something else than that.
Because I think the most exciting feud he's ever had, to me, has been the Velveteen Dream.
Yeah. I like that one back in NXT.
You know what I'm saying? But Velveteen Dream was great on the mic. Like, he brung something out of people that just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was good at doing that.
Right.
And Ricochet's one of those guys where when he feuded with Velveteen Dream, it brung something out of him. Same thing that happened with Aleister Black. Aleister Black, I feel like his best feud was Velveteen Dream because Velveteen was like, I'm going to make you say my name.
Yeah, and then when he finally did, you know, like, it got a big pop.
It did. It did. Like, that was... That's one of the things that I really miss about Patrick Clark being in WWE was his character brung something out of people that wasn't there to begin with. He was a great person to have a feud with because he knew how to get to you.
Right.
And I think that's what Ricochet needs is somebody that can get to him. Like, get in his head and make him angry, like, or scared or whatever, like Boogeyman did Booker T.
Right.
Well, he did have a feud with Logan Paul. That was pretty good.
But that was a good feud, but that was based on I can do what you can do.
Right.
That was Logan Paul saying, I can do what you can do. Like, I'm the reason that you got this highlight at Royal Rumble. If it wasn't for me, nobody would have even known you were in it. Not saying that Logan Paul's right, but he's kind of right.
I mean, he needed somebody who could do that spot with him.
And, you know, he's the one that pointed out about him and Samantha's relationship.
I mean, that was kind of well known, you know, like, I don't feel like you know, that was kind of a secret or anything. You know, it's been 3 years.
But he was the one that was the first one to bring it up in public. Logan Paul
on TV.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Right, like on TV.
Yeah, Logan Paul was the first one to bring it up.
I mean, Braun Strowman a few years ago, it was like Christmas or something, and then Ricochet, you remember Ricochet and Braun Strowman were teaming up and everything? It's like a SmackDown match, and then, like, it's Christmas, and then he brings a beating down Ricochet over there to Samantha Irvin, who was the SmackDown announcer at the time, and he puts the mistletoe over their heads, and then they kiss, and then Ricochet comes back to life.
No.
Remember that?
No.
Yeah, it happened 3 years ago.
But that doesn't, you know, confirm that they were dating or anything. That was just, you know, one of those 25th Street Fight matches.
I don't think that would have happened unless they were in a relationship.
You know how many people have kissed on WWE TV that weren't in a relationship?
In today's day, I doubt that would have happened if they weren't.
I'm just saying, you know how many people have kissed?
Yeah.
That weren't in relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, Stacy Keibler kissed Randy Orton and caught a RKO right after.
Right, back in the day.
I'm just saying. Let's not act like it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
fair. It does happen. But I just wanted to see how you guys felt about that. And how do you guys feel, one more thing, how do you guys feel about Sami Zayn losing right before WrestleMania? He lost this week to Bronson Reed. And he's supposed to face Gunther for the IC title.
It's just building up to the underdog persona, that's all, in my opinion.
I mean, it doesn't help when him losing matches and everything. But personally, I kind of feel like Sami Zayn and Gunther is kind of getting overshadowed a little bit by Chad Gable, who's still hanging
around.
Because
Chad Gable should be in the match.
That's what I'm saying. You know, we think that. And, you know, the fans think that, but even, you know, in WWE, you know, they still have him, you know, hanging around Sami Zayn telling him that you can't beat Gunther and, you know, this, that, and the third.
Well, Chad Gable's kind of mentally training him on how to beat Gunther because he says, you keep focusing on this shit. You keep listening to everybody saying that you can't win. You need to get your head out your ass. And Chad Gable's kind of, you know, giving him the pointers on how to win because Chad Gable really believes that he's the one that can beat Gunther.
I'm just kind of saying,
I wouldn't mind if Sami Zayn just went on ahead and said, my heart's not in it. You take the match.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, get behind Sammy when so many people in the WWE universe, they feel like Chad Gable should be the one to face Gunther, and the WWE still got good Chad Gable, you know, hanging around the title picture. You know, that kind of gives them, you know, reason to continue to push for Chad Gable instead of Sami Zayn, and, you know, kind of it drags it down a little bit, in my opinion. You know,
I get what you're saying. The focus should be on Sami Zayn,
right? It should be on Sami Zayn,
and not on Chad Gable helping Sami right. Zayn get there.
The focus should be on the Intercontinental Title feud. And at this moment, Chad Gable is not a member that is not a part of this feud,
right?
And him hanging around is still taking a part away from the feud.
Exactly, I get what you mean, but I think. I mean, you know, I'm a big advocate for Chad Gable, and I think
right, that he I like him a lot too.
I think that he should be in it. What about my guy, the treasure that needs to be protected at all costs, R-Truth, being on commentary with The Miz this week as
that,
the judge?
That should go. This motherfucker out here screaming, go to commercial, go to commercial.
I like that
I was
part.
Waiting on you to say that, Sam.
Cause my that dude, shit would have me in tears. Like, really, dude? Like, that's going to stop him from beating your ass?
They surrounded him. I don't want you to say, go to commercial.
He said, I'm on commentary this week. I'm not fighting.
But I do like how they let him get some offense in first, though. I do like that.
Yeah, they did. They set him up. I mean... But I'm excited for this because it's all it's doing is reassuring our thoughts that the Awesome Truth might actually win this thing.
Personally, I hope that they do win this thing because I kind of feel like Truth should get, you know, his little bit of shine like everybody else gets, and
it'll take the titles off of Judgment Day,
right?
And that way they can focus on this Money in the Bank.
He's only got till July. He's only
still
got
a long
until
way away.
July. It's only a few months, though.
That's still a long way away. A few months is years in WWE speak.
Just saying, it's coming to an end.
But you remember, Dolph Ziggler had one of the best cash-ins ever after WrestleMania.
Yeah, he did.
You know what I'm saying? It's still time. There's still time. So let's not forget about that. I just think that if they take the tag titles off of them, it'll give him more focus on the Money in the Bank.
Right, I feel that, which is something that I feel that should happen. But personally, I would have hoped that it would have happened a little sooner than this. You know? Like, if they weren't tag team champions, then maybe he could have focused more on going for, you know, the big belt and everything.
Right. They are acting like Trick and Mello is like a main event for the ages.
I mean, it's going to be
good. NXT.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good one.
So they did prime time on Trick and Mello, and they did the whole storyline throughout the show. Like, they showed Mello's side, they showed Trick's side. They had Randy Orton and Finn Balor and all these people commenting on how important this match was and how it might be the greatest match in Stand and Deliver history. And it's overshadowing the title match between Ilja and Tony D.
I mean, the fact that it's main eventing Stand and Deliver should kind of tell you something.
Right, Trick and Mello. You know? That's crazy, bro. That's crazy. I'm so proud of those guys having Black Excellence main event Stand and Deliver. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that I think about it, it's been a while since we've had two black people that weren't women main event a major pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so happy about that.
Even then was 2-3 years ago.
But I can't wait to see it. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about really the whole card that's Stand and Deliver because Roxanne Perez is heel finally. It's been a long time coming, and she's making an actually really good heel. Her versus Lyra Valkyria. You got Trick versus Melo. You got Ilya versus Tony D. I mean, you got Oba Femi, who's killing it right now as North American champion. And he'll be going against Josh Briggs, and Dijak.
Right.
Because he challenged them both. Said that that together they'll make a worthy opponent. And, I mean, he's like NXT's Black Panther. Everybody keep doing the Wakanda Forever sign when he come out, chanting who, like he's one of the mountain, one of the mountain M'Baku's people. I mean, NXT has been on fire lately. And you missing out if you ain't watching it, I'm telling you. NXT has been killing it. I've been liking more of NXT than I have of the main roster. More of the stuff that they're doing. They got some for real stuff going down. I mean, Fallon Henley, Kehlani Jordan have been helping out with Kiana James and JC Jane and Thea Hale has been feuding with each other because JC Jane finally turned on Chase U.
Mm-hmm.
It's going down there. It's a storyline everywhere you turn. You got Sean Spears getting into it with Dijak. He actually loses the match because Joe Gacy comes from under the ring and steals his chair.
Right.
They just killing it down there.
I feel you. Developmental.
I mean, this is the next generation. In the next 10 or 15 years, these are the people that you'll be seeing on the main roster the same way it was 10 years ago in NXT.
Right, with Steph and Roman and
Ambrose. We thought that they were killing it down there with the Bray Wyatts and Sasha Banks and Charlotte's and Bayley's and, you know, Big E's and... You know, those are all the people that are on the main roster now.
It is crazy to think that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like it was just, you know, yeah, I just saw those guys down there like it was like a few months ago. And it's been 10 years.
Yeah. And all the people that were killing it down there
are killing it on
the main roster. So in the next 10 years, all the people that are killing it in NXT right now, the Bron Breakers, the Carmelo Hayes, the Tony D'Angelo's, the Dijaks, you know what I'm saying, the Kehlani Jordans, the Roxanne Perez's, those will be the people on the main roster with the big titles.
Yeah. Feel it.
And progression is a must. And, you know, everybody has their helping hand to get up to the main roster and do their thing. So speaking of helping hands and getting buried, let's talk about Hulk Hogan.
Oh, boy.
We're going to do three up, three down on Hogan. We're not just going to tear him to shreds. We're going to do three up first and give each one of us will give one of the best things that we think Hulk Hogan did for the business or one of his highest points that he had. And then we're going to give three of the lowest things that he did in the business, or three of the lowest points that he had. So, Sam Spade, what's your one-up on Hulk Hogan?
This is going to be tough because it ain't that many.
There's a lot.
it really ain't that many. But I was torn between two. The WrestleMania 3, you know, when he body slammed Andre the Giant, because I was there live for that. But I'm going to go with his heel turn when he turned on Macho Man and formed the NWO.
That was a up.
That was big for WCW.
I think that was big for the wrestling business.
Yeah, it
was big for the business as a whole, yeah. Because now, you remember back around that time I was in high school, you know, lunchroom, NWO versus DX, who was better?
For the first maybe year or two, it was definitely the NWO.
Yeah.
Because the NWO kind of changed the industry. It changed it to the point where it blurred the lines between what was real and what wasn't.
Yep.
That was the first time I could ever remember seeing people throwing trash in the ring because they were so upset that Hulk Hogan. Because I'm not going to lie, I thought the third man was Shawn Michaels. They had
that would have been interesting.
They had Diesel. They had Razor, and I thought that Shawn Michaels was going to jump ship next. I thought he was the third man, the way they was playing it up, that they had a guy who used to be in WWE and all of that stuff, and they played it up. And when it was Hulk Hogan, it all made sense. He was in WWE before. You know what I'm saying? He was a big-time superstar. He was a champion before. So everything they said was true. They just swerved us on who it was. And people were so upset.
And I will say that Bobby Heenan kind of ruined it, though.
What'd he do?
He kind of ruined it. Because when Hogan first came out to the ring, you know, they were also trying to be
is
like,
he the third man?
Remember, it was Hogan 3-on-3 match, and it was really just 2-on-2 because they took out
2-on-3.
Sting. They took out Sting. They didn't know it was Luger they took out.
Yeah.
It was Luger. Right. So when Hogan came down, they thought like it was supposed to be like he's on Luger and Sting and Macho Man's side. And then Bobby Heenan said, but is he the third man?
Yeah.
And
they were like, no, you're out of your mind.
Right, of course he's here to help.
You know, but I still say that's probably one of his greatest up moments because it changed the industry.
It did. That was the night that changed wrestling forever.
Gonna give us one of your up moments on Hulk Hogan.
My up moment was him winning the World Tag Team titles with Edge. I say this because, you know, there are a lot of kids that were fans of Hulk Hogan, you know, back in the 80s mm-hmm. and everything. And seeing him win the World Tag Team title with Edge, and they played it up like, you know, Edge is just, you know, really big Hulkamania, Hulk Hogan fan. And, you know, he was teaming with his hero. And it was just nice to see. You know, that was one of the nice moments to see, you know, the good guys go over and Edge's childhood dreams come true and Hogan doing something for somebody who was a big fan of his. And, yeah, I just like to see that.
All right. One of my up moments for Hulk Hogan was Icon versus Icon. Rocking Hogan at WrestleMania 18. Like, Hogan was supposed to be played up as the heel, but for some reason, when they got in that building, everybody turned on The Rock.
That was the birth of the heel Rock, wasn't it?
That was the birth of Hollywood Rock, almost. Mm-hmm. But watching Hogan, he was passing the torch to The Rock that night. Because mm-hmm. Rock is the only, I can't think of anybody else who kicked out of Hogan's leg drop.
Goldberg.
I
don't even remember him hitting a leg drop on Goldberg.
He did.
Oh, but Rock was one of the only ones I can remember kicking out of it. I can remember Jim Ross screaming, "He beat Andre the Giant with that move."
Yep.
But when Rock hit that second rock bottom, the crowd was booing. But when he nipped up for that people's elbow, the crowd turned again.
He slipped right back on his side again.
The crowd turned again. And he beat Hogan. Hogan shook his hand. They fought off the NWO. He raised Rock's arm. And that was like the passing of the torch, which Hogan never did.
Right.
He never wanted to pass the torch to anybody. Even when he lost to the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania 6. He didn't shake his hand and do all of that extra stuff. He kicked out after 3 and was like, "I can't believe it."
Right.
Like, he let Rock emphatically beat him, raised his hand, shook his hand, passed the torch. Rock becomes the new Icon.
Yeah. And just for historian's sake, Ultimate Warrior did not kick out of the leg drop. He just simply moved out of the way.
No, he moved out of the way. I remember that. He moved out of the way and hit Hogan with the Ultimate Splash, and Hogan kicked out at 3.
And he kicked out at 3.1.
Right.
Yeah, he always used to do that, though.
No, Hogan would kick out and hawk up on your ass and beat the shit out of you.
I mean, when he would eventually lose matches, y'all was kicked out at 3.1, didn't he?
Right, most of the time. And just couldn't believe that he lost.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
now three. Think about it. The next match, the next time he lost again was to Yokozuna or Undertaker.
Undertaker.
Can't remember which. I think it was Undertaker.
It was Taker. But that was three up on Hulk Hogan. Now we finna go three down on his ass. Sam Spade.
This is gonna take a while because we got so many to choose from.
Well, we got 10 minutes to do it, 11 minutes to do it. So Sam Spade, let's go with 1-3 down.
He single-handedly ruined WrestleMania 9. And mind you, the WrestleMania itself wasn't all that great to begin with, but he single-handedly ruined it.
Because this was the night
basically taking Bret Hart's title from Yokozuna. I did not like the way that whole sequence was ugly to me.
Yep, because Bret was facing Yoko. Bret had Yoko in the sharpshooter. Mr. Fuji throws salt in his eyes. Yokozuna gets the pin on Bret. And all of a sudden, for some reason, now Mr. Fuji's challenging anybody in the back to face Yoko for the title after he just won it.
Which was dumb as fuck, by the way. Dumb
and as fuck. Hogan has to be the one to take it, huh?
Yep.
Hogan. Now, if you remember earlier in the night, he did challenge the winner of that match. Because he famously called Yokozuna a Jap, which I thought was hilarious. Like, they let him say that on TV? Wow.
But, yeah, that was one horrible way to bury two people in one night.
Yep.
Matt,
like I said, Yokozuna did beat him clean later, but that's beside the point.
Matt, give us a three down on Hogan.
My three down is him, his work with Impact Wrestling.
I figured that much.
Yeah. You know, I was a big fan of the old school TNA, and TNA were on fire when they brought him in there. They were doing things differently. They were edgy. They were, you know, they pretty much had an established an identity that was completely their own.
Right, they
and
did.
Almost immediately, Hulk Hogan comes in there and just, you know, things just keep getting erased away. You know, it's Hogan, it's Eric Bischoff, you know, they're doing things that you would see on WCW TV back in 2000. You know, they got rid of the six-side ring and now they're using the four-side ring.
Yeah.
You know, they brought in all the, you know, the older guys, you know, the Nasty Boys debuted the night that Hogan debuted. That was the time Ric Flair came in there and, yeah, you know, it was just, you know.
Booker T.
Now, Booker T was Kevin already Nash. There. It was just, you know, they just completely, in my opinion, tried to erase TNA's whole identity. And did long-term damage to Impact Wrestling that they are still trying to completely recover from. You know? Because that's a time where, you know, a lot of people lost interest in TNA. And they still get a bad rap for that time period to this date. Because of all the stuff that went down.
That Hogan did. Bringing in his daughter.
Yeah, bringing in his daughter.
The Aces and Eights.
Having one of the things I really didn't like is whenever he had Abyss win the X Division title. You know, the X Division, you know, was a staple in TNA, and you know it gets swept under the rug. You know, today I found out that AJ Styles was TNA World Champion, and like he was TNA World Champion in April. Okay? Mm-hmm. And he loses the belt to RVD. You know, RVD just got there a few weeks ago. AJ Styles will not win the TNA World Heavyweight title again until October 2013, which was after, you know, Hogan had left.
Right.
You know, so holding down, you know, talent, you know, TNA talent that, you know, people wanted to see is another thing on the long list.
Of the damage that happened
during his run in TNA.
And he had that ironclad contract.
You know, I'm not saying that, you know, all of this stuff was his fault, but it just happened to have happened while he was there. And, you know, coincidence? I think not.
Oh, it was definitely his fault. Fuck that. That's definitely all his fault.
My three down on Hulk Hogan is the year and a half long storyline that he ruined as Sting became the Crow. Sting became the Crow Sting. Like, he modeled his character after Brandon Lee's The Crow. And he started coming down from the rafters. He started carrying a baseball bat. He started wearing that face paint.
Right.
And that was supposed to be, that was an 18-month-long storyline. And the payout was supposed to be Sting wins the belt from Hogan clean at Starrcade. Mm-hmm. And that was the plan all the way up until the night they got to the building. Hogan says, his exact words, "If you're going to beat me, brother, it's got to make money." And he doesn't want to lose to Sting anymore. So now they have to go back and forth all throughout the pay-per-view trying to figure out how they're going to get this belt off of Hogan. And he finally agrees that they're going to do a fast count. And then they'll have Bret Hart come out and say it was a fast count and restart the match and have Bret as the referee because this was his debut. Well, apparently, since fucking Nick Patrick is Hogan's homeboy, Hogan hits the leg drop on Sting and he does the slowest fast count you ever seen. Now it just looks like Bret's coming out complaining for no reason and it completely undermines Sting and buries him in the process.
Damn, that's the second time he fucked over Bret Hart. Wow.
So they had Bret restart a match that ended fair and square. Sting win the belt, but Hogan was able to come out and complain the next day and basically erase everything that was done. An 18-month storyline all for Hogan to that night say, "If you're going to beat me, it's got to make money." This was the plan the whole time. And Hogan had an ironclad contract so he can have creative control over his character. So he said who he lose to and who he doesn't.
Yeah.
That, are we doing honorable mentions or we, have, or we don't have
go time? Go ahead. We got time. Go ahead, Sam Spade. Honorable mention.
I'm going to give one honorable mention for an up, and that's when he put over Billy Kidman.
What was that?
This was like towards the end of WCW when nobody...
The really new wide. Blood.
Oh. They hold him there, that whole new blood angle. He put over Billy Kidman.
I'll do one up, which was Hogan actually starring in those movies, those Rocky movies, which gave WWE extra exposure.
Rocky III.
Yeah, I think that's the only one he was in was Rocky
III. Yeah,
III.
It was just Rocky III.
Rocky III. He did Commando. Mr. Nanny, like, he was doing those movies and stuff, which was giving WWE extra exposure. Right. You got another up for him, or you want to go down?
I mean, we got a lot of downs.
I mean, what he did do for the wrestling business should be considered an up. You know, in the 80s, he was the ultimate good guy. In the 90s, he's the ultimate bad guy. Like, as much as we all might hate to admit it, he did leave
a mark.
A mark. Mostly in a mostly positive
way.
Impact on the business.
He was selfish, but it was worth it.
Yeah, for what happened with wrestling and everything because of the stuff that, you know, he was there and he spearheaded, you know, the WrestleManias and the NWO.
Sam, you going up or down?
Well, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Who do you think was Hogan's greatest enemy?
In the 80s, I would say Sheiky Baby, Iron Sheik. Towards the 90s, I would say Sting was his greatest adversary.
Yeah, I agree.
Nope, I'm going way outside the box. I think his greatest adversary of all time was Bobby Heenan.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, you didn't say manager. I was thinking wrestler.
No, I just said greatest enemy.
Yeah, Bobby Heenan was.
I went Bobby Heenan because in those times, everybody that he threw at Hogan, Andre the Giant, Big John Studd, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was Heenan.
WrestleMania only happened because of three people. Hogan, Vince, and Bobby.
Yeah, I would give him that. I would give Hogan that. I'd also give him, like, he did put some people over that was worth it, like the Goldbergs, the Warriors, you know what I'm saying, the Takers.
Mm-hmm. I wish he put over Macho Man, but that's another story.
That's another story. I really hated him for that one, especially considering the fact that he was all over Miss Elizabeth. You got lust in your eyes for Miss Elizabeth. But yeah, I mean, Hogan's done some great things. Hogan's done some terrible things, but you can't deny Hogan is great for the business.
Yeah.
Well, he was great for the business.
But that's all the time we got. Gunner, tell them where to reach you.
At Lazy Facebook, MJ Gunner, Instagram.
Sam Spade.
I'm everywhere. You already know. Nowhere.
And rdog1 on Instagram, rdog3 on Twitter. Hit us up. Thank you guys for listening to the Sons of Legends. We'll holler next week.
See ya.